Hi, I'm Mark DeMoz, one of the teaching pastors at the Mosaic Church of Central Arkansas, located in the University District of Little Rock's Urban Center, 72204. Welcome to our podcast. Founded in the summer of 2001, Mosaic is a multi-ethnic and economically diverse church where significant percentages of Black and white Americans, together with men and women from more than 25 nations, walk, work, and worship God together as one. Learn more at mosaicchurch.net.
The following message was recorded live at Mosaic as part of the VIA series in the winter of 2024. Thanks for listening.
I think about this passage where Christ the night before told his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And I think about how those disciples in that moment in the room pre-cross were probably thinking, "Yeah, you showed us a lot. We learned a lot. We got it," right? I mean, that's the way I would have interpreted that. I would have just thought, yes, thank you for your example. Thank you for letting us follow you all these years. And we're like, okay, let's go do what he's told us to do. We already saw what he did. But then the next night, when they're watching him hang on the cross from afar, mind you, I'm sure they're thinking, is this part of the way he loved us? You know, and of course, they were all traumatized in that moment that Christ was hanging on the cross. He was beaten and just so appeared as though he was weak and like he was done, even though he told them 3 days later, "I'll rise again." But in that moment, I can only imagine them going, "I ain't loving anybody the way he loved me, just based on what, this is what's going to happen to me." But then 3 days later, when they saw and recognized what had happened, how he defeated death itself, that they began to understand, oh, that was all part of him loving the way that we are supposed to love and showing us that. And so if you look at the slide called the three roots of sin, sorry, the three roots of our faith that talk begin with John 15. There's two other ones where he talks about, these are the things I want you to do and the way I want you to treat each other. Just look at the way I did it for you. And so the first one is, you know, that you love each other the way I loved you. And so now that becomes a much more overwhelming thing post-resurrection, right? Because now you see the tremendous amount of love that Christ was willing to go through for us. And now he's asking us to treat each other in the same way. Another explicit commandment of that same type is in Ephesians 4:3. He says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." As I remember on the cross, when he's looking down, what's the one of the final things he says? "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do." And he's talking about everybody, not just the soldiers that are there gambling for his clothes. He's talking about his disciples who are standing far away, who are afraid for their own lives, even though he told them everything that was going to happen. He's talking about the people just standing there going, "Oh, what a poor man." You know, and all of the things that led, because some of those people were cheering him as he entered the city on Palm Sunday, but then jeering him to be crucified on Friday. And Christ is there going, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." And that is the kind of forgiveness that we are admonished to forgive those around us. That's a high calling, is it not? And then the third one is accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. And so these three roots of our faith, these are the three passages that always come to my mind, because I know they're the ones that say, hey, Christ did this for you, you must do it for others. And the way you give is in the way you're going to receive. And a passage that really illustrates that comes out of Luke chapter 6. So let's look at this whole principle in that in giving, you will be given back, the same thought as in the prayer. But let's look at what Christ says about that. Okay, this is a very critical passage for us as we head into Easter weekend. So notice what he begins with. He's talking about what not to do. He says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's break that down clause by clause. Let's go to the next slide. Let's start with the first two. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Okay, so the very first thing he tells us is this is what you're not supposed to give. And remember, we talked about this thing, I'm calling it the counterintuitive spiritual principle that we talked about this whole last half of the prayer, is referring to the fact that our, we mentioned this several weeks ago, that all these things in this prayer of St. Francis is essentially telling us that our deepest needs are not found by seeking them directly, but by giving them to others selflessly. Okay, we talked about that like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I hope you all remember that. But nonetheless, you know, this is the counterintuitive spiritual principle that all of this keeps clarifying. That if we really want something, you don't seek it directly. Instead, you give it, and it'll come back on you. And this is exactly what this passage says, because in this first thing, Christ says is, but don't do it this way. These are the things you're supposed to restrain. And when you restrain yourself from judging or condemning, you yourself will not be judged or condemned. Okay? Now, why does Christ not want us to judge? Why does he not want us to condemn? It all comes down to this next slide, the fact that when we judge, we self-appoint ourselves, right, with both authority and superiority on the person that we're judging. And that's not our job, right? Whose job is it? God's, right? He's the only righteous God judge. And so Christ says, look, you want to give, you're going to get, but this is what you don't want to give is judgment and condemnation. Number one, it's not your position or your job. Okay, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to confront others. It's just you're not supposed to confront them as a superior authority who's making the final word. The other word, they're condemned, is exactly why God hates us to condemn, is because we're pronouncing someone as unusable. And we're not taking into account what could happen if Christ got a hold of them. Okay, and this is a judgmental and condemning world we live in. Do you not see that every day? This morning early, as I was just prepping for this message, I got on Google News, and I just searched the word condemn. And do you know how many headlines? It was page after page after page of so-and-so condemns so-and-so for this, or the United States is condemning this country for not condemning such-and-such. And it's just on and on and on and on. It's a condemning and judgmental world. And one of the reasons I'm convinced Christ asks us not to do it is because the rest of the world does it so freely. The rest of the world writes off people. The rest of the world wants to elevate and be superior and have this self-assigned authority to speak over someone else. And what he's asking us to do, don't give away judgment and condemnation. Restrain yourself from that. Because if you really want to seek the things you want, mainly people are looking for love, you're going to have to give away love and not judgment or condemnation. All right? Now, that doesn't mean, again, you're not supposed to confront. It's about all the way you approach that confrontation. Remember, he says, take the log out of your own eye. And when you go and you do approach somebody, you do it with humility as a brother or a sister, not as somebody who self-assigned themselves a position over someone else. Remember all of that. So that's the first thing he says. Don't do this. But look at the next little clause. But do this. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. What's the it? Is it just money? No, a lot of pastors want you to think it's just money, right? And we overuse that term to get people to give. And of course, we want you to give, right? But this is so much bigger than just your dollars. This it is love and forgiveness and acceptance, the big three we just talked about. It is mercy, it is grace. All the things that Christ was in that moment when he's hanging on the cross that he did for those that were sitting there. And the one word I would say, really, when I look at that picture, is clueless. The people down there had no idea what he was doing in that moment. We are very fortunate to be living this side of the cross. And we can fully see the implications of that one horrible act, horrible night, where he hung there, beaten, you know. And so we now understand it. But everybody else there was probably going, man, what a waste, what a horrible thing. We just lost our leader. All of those things you guys just said. But in reality, he was giving to all of us in that moment. So the it will be given to you is the stuff that we give. Okay, so corollary to the fact that, hey, you don't want to seek these things directly. Instead, you give it indirectly and you come back on you is when you give to others, you'll receive it back yourself. You know, this is that whole thing. The bottom line is this: you want to give good, you'll get good. You give bad, you'll get bad. And this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that God is going to give you this stuff back, but a lot of times he does. But more than likely, it's also just human nature describing the fact, if you're really judgmental, when something happens to you, people are going to treat you with a whole lot of judgmentalism. If you're constantly writing off people and something happens to you and you do something, you make a mistake, you know what? People are going to write you off just as easy as you write them off. It's just human nature. And God is saying, don't do that. Be different. Look at what he says next. Because there's two addendums to that second corollary. Look at the next phrase. Not only will it be given to you, but it'll be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Okay, now that may sound a little strange to you, that whole clause. We use it a lot, but we really don't even know what it means. But this is a very cultural specific clause, because Christ knew that everybody there knew what he was talking about when he's saying this is a good measure. Okay, and a good measure in those days was when you would go to buy, say you were going to buy corn, and you say you bought corn and the guy pours a bunch of corn into this container. He pours it up halfway, shakes it, makes sure things get settled, pours more in to the top, and then you know what they did? They took both hands and they pressed it down. And then they shook it some more, pressed it down, poured more in, and eventually they knew that what they were buying was what they were selling, and it was called a good measure. And a lot of times people would buy those kinds of things, and they would use their garment, the outer garment, as their sack. And so they would just pull open pull their garment up, and the seller would just pour it right in their lap. Okay, that gives you a better picture of what this means. When he says, hey, it's going to be given back to you, but it's going to be a really good measure. They're going to shake it, they're going to press it, pour it in your lap. And all that means is, look, I added an addendum to number two. When you give to others, you'll receive it back yourself abundantly more than what you give. Okay? So when you give, it will be abundantly more. But not only that, look at the next slide, because he adds even another addendum. He says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That means, essentially, the way that not just what you give, but how much you give will be given back to you. So, go to the next slide. What measuring tool do you use? You know, when you give out love, forgiveness, acceptance, you use a little teaspoon? Yeah, I call this one, that little teaspoon. Notice what I call it. It's where you really withhold it. You give out a little bit, but it's on your terms. I had a friend one time tell me, you know, I don't ever give anybody a compliment for doing a job they're paid to do. And I just remember thinking, I bet you get very few compliments about you doing your job well that you're getting paid to do. And I don't know, maybe it's just the way they were raised or however, but the person that never gives or maybe just gives out a little bit, you get back more than you gave, but it's not going to be any more than what you measured out. I mean, it's going to be around that size. So don't withhold it. Be liberal with it as much as you can. The second one is conditional. You know what that says? It's like, yeah, I'll give it to you only if you deserve it, right? Like, yeah, I'll love you, but you're going to owe me for this one. Am I the only one that does that? Or is that you're laughing because you know you kind of do it too, right? But in reality, this happens all the time. I mean, I'd say the last 5 years, one of the greatest growth in my life comes out of my understanding of this word grace. And the more I study it, the more I realize I don't know about it. And the more I try to apply it, the more sense it does not make. Because in the end, everybody is overwhelmed by God's grace. And when none of us deserve it. And it feels like when I try to apply it in the way that God did it for me, I get pushback sometimes. And somebody will say, I actually heard somebody say this. I don't think God does that. I don't think his grace applies to those that don't deserve it. And I'm like, that's the opposite definition of grace itself. Because the definition includes the fact that you don't deserve it. And so let's just err on the side of giving it to those that don't deserve it. And so that's the measure number two, is the conditional one. It's like a two-cup one. But then number three is like, hey, let's use a five-gallon bucket. Let's just be as extravagant as we can, pour it out on everybody, and be loving and accepting and forgiving, especially to those that call themselves believers. You know, recognizing where they are on this spiritual journey and all that God is doing in and around them to get them to that point. Now, we were just rejoicing this morning in prayer because of a story that just took its years in the making and so many hours of prayer that we've been praying. And to see God at work, and that's just such an encouraging story and testimony to hear, that we just makes you want to pour it out all the more on all those, in all these other situations. So be lavish with your measure, overboard, with generosity, liberally pouring out on others, especially as the church. But in reality, you know what? Our containers are woefully small compared to what Christ did for us. Look at this next slide. This is Jesus' measure. When he was on that cross, you think about the sin that he paid for once for all, and how God caused his judgment and his wrath in that moment for the entire world, for all history, to fall on him. And Christ knew that and did it for all those people that are sitting there staring. You think any person there knew that in that moment they were getting inundated with an ocean's worth of forgiveness and love and acceptance? And you know what? That's us. You notice I got the little silhouette there. In your greatest moment of need, when you are so desperate for change, or you're addicted to something, or you're just looking for purpose and for something to live for, and you cry out to God, in that moment, God found you highly unacceptable. He found you highly unforgivable. He found you highly unlovable. But he still gave you an ocean's worth of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Yes. That's what Christ did for us in that moment. And so if you're sitting here wondering, how do I give it out in a 5-gallon bucket? It's all tied to how much you understand what Christ did for you. Because if you can understand that is you, and that what he has done, and that you are living in an ocean's worth of love, forgiveness, and grace, you will have to give it out more and more and more. Bottom line is this. Point number three, in our greatest moment of need, Christ poured onto us an ocean's worth of love, forgiveness, and acceptance. And point number four, we're to be supremely generous of these things to others. That's going to express itself. You know what? Money may be involved in that, but so will time. So will energy. So will words. So will service. All of that should flow from within because of what you know Christ has done on behalf of you, and flow itself out. So this week, especially as you study this, as you read the life of Christ, especially read John chapters 12 all the way to the end of the book, because it's all about his last week on this earth. If you read through it and you get a greater appreciation for this, then begin asking God, show me, Lord, who needs this? How can I dish this out? Not be conditional or withhold it. Let me be supremely liberal in my generosity of these things. Amen. Lord, we are grateful for what you did for us, an ocean's worth of love, forgiveness, and acceptance. Help us, O God, to be supremely generous to those around us this week. Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear of those who are looking, and so many who don't even know what they're looking for, and many times they're testing us just to see if we're going to judge and condemn like the rest of the world, or we're going to treat them the same way the rest of the world does. Would you help us, Lord, to live this prayer out, knowing that in giving, that's how we receive, and forgiving, that's how we are forgiven. We thank you for the example of Christ and all that he did. during this week for us on our behalf. We put all those around us in the center of your hand and pray you would keep working sovereignly, just like we rejoice this morning in prayer over this one who has come so far because of who you are. And we thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for every response this morning on that painting. Bless us this week. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
I hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message recorded live at Mosaic Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Take a moment right now to subscribe on your favorite platform and get our podcasts pushed right to your device each week. We welcome your comments. If you live in Central Arkansas, we hope you'll visit us soon in person. And thanks also for considering our financial needs. To donate, visit mosaicchurch.net. That's mosaicchurch.net. On behalf of all of us at Mosaic, I'm Mark DeMoss. Thanks again for listening.